Hello and welcome, everybody, to Why Should Your Team Win? It's Katie, and you guys, it's a special episode. It's episode number 40. We're coming to you live from my hometown of Grand Forks, North Dakota. And typically, we talk NHL teams, but I want to talk hometown hockey. And with me is my guest, Lee. Yay!
Hello.
I'm like a little bit closer. We're a little bit janky today. So, Lee, tell me how long you've been a Fightin' Hawks fan, University of North Dakota, baby.
For about as long as I can remember. My grandparents had season tickets, and it was the type of thing where there were always tickets available, and it actually got to a point.
Your parents or grandparents?
Grandparents. And okay. Then they went on to my dad ended up getting them after the grandparents.
So when your grandparents had it, was it like the 50s, 60s, or when did they start going?
Well, back when they built the last hockey rink to help raise money, they went around to businesses and tried to get people to buy seats. And my grandpa was best friends with the guy that was doing this. We bought 4 seats to begin with.
Oh, nice.
Back in the 70s.
So you're like legacy season ticket holders?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's impressive.
Third generation whenever I get them.
My gosh, that's your whole life you've been wearing green.
Basically.
Cheering for the formerly the Fighting Sioux. We'll get into nickname later.
Yeah.
But wow, you know, I've been cheering for them since 97 when they won. We mentioned the other day about eras. Do you have a favorite Sioux era?
I would say, you know, it's hard to get away from your youth when it comes to it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite times is probably the 95-96 season.
Okay.
Right before they won the national title the next year, because it would be year one or year two of Dean Blaze being the new coach.
Okay, yeah, Dean Blaze.
And that was when you could kind of see it getting turned around.
Yeah.
And that senior class of 96 would have been the last time a class of, you know, freshman, sophomore, junior, senior class that did make it to a NCAA tournament.
Oh, wow, yeah.
But they had, I've always been a fan of defensemen. I never played hockey like basketball, but defense for me is always where it's at.
Yeah.
And they had a strong defensive class that year.
Who were some of the guys you remember?
The one that I was able to have money and buy my own jersey, Nick Naminko was his name.
Ooh.
I just remember he had a wicked slap shot from the blue line.
Mm-hmm.
He was up there with one of the higher scores, and he, you know, it was one of those slap shots that would always get, you know, maybe be 2 feet off the ice.
Ooh.
And he somehow always found it.
Laser.
Yeah, to the back of the net.
Oh, my other memory, because I grew up in North Dakota, in Grand Forks as well. But the 2000 championship run,
yeah.
I think that's the first, because that was the first year I started playing hockey.
Okay.
And before that, it was just kind of like not so much, but 2000 is when I watched them beat BC, who coincidentally, they're playing BC today.
Yep.
But some of the studs on that team, Carl Gehring, is it Gehring?
Yep.
The goalie, I think he did all 4 years at UND, right?
Yep. He was a goaltender for the basically back-to-back championship games.
Mm-hmm.
They beat BC and then they lost to BC.
And Carl Gehring, he's always maintained a UND connection. I think he's an assistant coach.
Yep. I believe he came on as, you know, the NCAA keeps changing their rules for students aren't getting paid, students are getting paid, the number of coaches you can have.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, those number of coaches you have, there are some that are volunteer.
Yeah, he was volunteer goalie coach for
a
bit.
And then he got brought on. I think he's paid now, and he's doing goalie and special teams, I think.
Mm-hmm. That team was loaded, I think, that 2000 team.
Yeah.
But I think a fan favorite, of course, was Mike Commodore.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to say about him?
He was one of the first guys that I maybe top three guys that I remember seeing that, like, there's a big guy on skates.
Yeah.
Like, he just, you know, I'm 6'9". He was probably close to my height.
Yeah, I think he's 6'4".
On skates.
Yeah.
He was probably close. He was one of the type of guys that, I mean, nobody wanted to mess with.
And yeah.
They basically changed the rules for fighting in the league and in the NCAA because of him. Because
that is right. Because he was a little bit too good.
Yeah.
For the NCAA.
Yeah. And basically when he came in and he left, I think he was there 3 years
maybe? He won the second year, I think.
Yeah. And then and he then, was gone.
Yeah.
He had two different rules because he was one of the first guys who was like, yeah, this guy, I remember hearing it, this guy gets another fight, he's done with this.
Season. That's right. I think NCAA rules where it's like you get one hot or two fights and you're done or something.
Basically. But, I mean, now it's to the point where you can't even drop the gloves.
Like
if you, I think if you drop the gloves, you're game misconduct.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Some other, obviously that was Dean Blaze won that 2000 championship. The captain was Peter Armbrust. Lee Gorin was assistant and Jason Ulmer. Do you remember this joke about Andy Collar? Did you hear about, Andy Collar got hit by a bus? It went right through his legs. Because that, I remember that 2000 championship, him and Gehring were kind of doing a little bit of sharing the responsibilities.
Yeah.
And then Gehring got a concussion and he managed to win these games that we needed. So I don't mean to give him shit. If he's listening, which he's not.
Yeah.
Another thing about that too, or a lot of UND players, I like when there's like hometown guys, Grand Forks. So I think Jeff Panzer was a hometown guy.
And that really kind of all started in 97 too, because that's when his brother Jeff was there.
Yeah.
I think the Almers.
Jay Panzer, yeah.
And I think the Almers were from Grand Forks.
Mm-hmm.
So, UND has always gotten a lot of shit for basically whenever we play the Gophers, it's
team. Mostly Minnesota guys?
it's Team Canada versus the state of Minnesota. Minnesota is completely classist, or at least they were not so much anymore when it came to hockey. If they got anybody outside of the state of Minnesota, it was kind of a faux pas for them because, you know, they're supposed to be the pride on ice.
Yeah.
Which to me is a joke.
No, I remember Zach Parise got shit when he committed to UND.
Yeah.
And same with Jonathan Toews because he played at Shattuck.
Yep.
And so they, you know.
Well, it was one of the things too. I think when Parise committed to us, the story I heard is he talked to the great Herb Brooks.
Oh, yeah.
Because once you get to a certain level of hockey, you kind of meet all your idols.
Yeah. Well, his dad's famous.
At some point. And I know the story that I heard is that he talked to Herb Brooks and he said, you need to go to UND.
Because
Dean Blaze was there and Dean Blaze was a assistant coach under Herb Brooks for a while.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Cool. Fun fact.
Yeah.
RIP Herb Brooks. You know, I was just at a Wild game about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And they have that big statue commemorating him. I thought that was pretty badass.
Yeah.
I want to talk about a bunch of players.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to talk about Jason Blake was on that team, Ryan Beta. I hate it when a player only plays 1 year.
Yeah.
I think the last big superstar to do that was Tyson Jost.
Yes.
He only played 1 year. And he didn't didn't succeed in Colorado. And he actually asked for a trade. And then we won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
So it was like, sucks, buddy.
Yeah.
But I feel like I always like, he should have stayed 2 years.
And I think with the average age of players coming down, it's becoming more and more obvious. Because, you know, back in early 2000s, even late 90s, the age was a little higher.
Yeah.
I know Jason Blake got shit for being maybe, I'm hearing a story, like he scored like a game-winning goal against the Gophers and he went by the bench. He said, How does it feel to be a 25-year-old senior?
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, now, I mean, we've actually had kids that have been, like, 17. So it's like they have more time to actually grow. And I think, you know, it's becoming more of a machine to kind of tune players.
I've always referred to UND as a hockey machine.
Yeah.
You know, the announcers are just, but there used to be a joke. Remember Pat Sweeney?
Yeah.
What would you say? Have you seen Pat Sweeney?
Yeah.
I think he doesn't do the games anymore.
No.
Right? He was stopped a while ago, I feel like.
He didn't stop. I think he was more so
asked to stop.
Pushed out, yes.
He wasn't very good.
I thought he was good, but it was because he was regional.
Who's the announcer now?
I forget his name, actually. They tried to put him kind of up on the bigger time, too. He started with UND, and then they brought him up, and he was doing, like, all the games.
Oh, okay.
And then, like, during COVID, when they had, like, the pods.
Okay, yeah.
For whether it was the tournament or whatever.
Yeah.
He was, like, the announcer. So, like, they were doing multiple games.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go into the Dave Hackstall era of players. Because, unfortunately, Dane Blaze left. And it's not that you think he could have been, like, a Joe Paterno at UND. Like, he's winning championships. He's a legend there.
Yeah.
But why did he leave? I know his wife died of cancer.
I think one of his mantras towards the end, too, was like, if you're anywhere for longer than 10 years, you've stayed too long. I think he was either at 10 or 11.
Yeah, no, that's wise. Because I thought he was, like, retired. Yeah. But I think he went to Omaha afterwards.
He went to the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Oh, yes.
And a lot of,
you just unlocked a memory, yeah.
And a lot of these, like, you know, not only is it a college hockey, a farm club, basically, for players, it's also for coaches, too.
Yeah.
And I know it happened, I forget the name of the coach, but Denver, they won back-to-back, and he went off, and I think he was Dane Montgomery, maybe was his name?
Montgomery. He just won with Vegas, or he's with Boston?
I don't know. I know, like, he went to, like, Dallas right after.
And yeah, he just won with...
I mean, you know, if you start winning a lot, they're gonna bring you up and try. Look at Hextall too with the Kraken.
Yeah,
he was with the Flyers first,
and that was embarrassing because it's the Flyers.
Yeah, Philadelphia is not friendly.
So, just some highlight players of the Dave Hextall era. Obviously, Zach Parise. I loved watching him play.
Yep.
There was a game against Minnesota. And I think he got like 4 goals or something ridiculous. He had 4 points on the night.
Yeah.
I remember me and all my friends were taking Yag bombs for every time he scored. Yeah. that was the best of times, the worst of times. TJ Oshie, obviously. I think he's one of my favorite that I got to see.
He was nice to see because he was one of those guys. He was, like, for sure an all-around hockey player.
Yeah.
He was as strong on offense as he was on defense. He wasn't really flashy. He was just a guy that, I mean, he was obviously looking at his shootout goal to win the Olympics.
Yeah.
But I mean, he kind of had what they always talk about, you know, the grinded out hockey that Hextall is kind of known for. Mm-hmm.
He was exciting because he had just won a championship in Warroad. You know, so like he was already a big deal when he came to Grand Forks.
And I think his big thing that I remember hearing before he came in was, I don't think when he first learned to skate, it wasn't on ice. He was a rollerblader.
Yeah, he's originally from like Washington State.
Yeah.
Or something.
And I think his dad was from Warroad to begin with and came back and brought him with, and he just took off with hockey.
So that was awesome to see him. Yeah. Obviously, Jonathan Toews, who kind of, you know, his legacy's up in the air a little bit right now, but he is the winningest former Sioux player. I mean, 3 Stanley Cups. I don't know.
He's
got to be top of them.
He's got to be top. I don't know if he left on the best of terms.
From UND?
Yeah.
I think he did 2 years.
Yeah, he
And everybody he wanted him to stay a third, but he was like, you're lucky it got 2 out of me.
And again, he was one of those guys that came when he was 17.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was a baby.
So, you know, he won 3 cups.
3 cups in 6 years.
And he never came back with one of them.
Yeah, well, he's from Winnipeg, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I mean, Ed Belfour brought it back.
Yeah. Oshie. Commodore did, and he's from somewhere in Saskatchewan.
Yeah, no, I think he's from outside of
Regina or somewhere.
Yeah, he's out of Alberta somewhere, Calgary, something like that. Wow.
It's just kind of weird. You know, like, that was one of the things, like, when he first won, like, me and some of my friends were, like, expecting him to, like, come back with it.
Yeah, and I think to play in Grand Forks, you see how crazy they are here.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like a little Canada fandom, you know?
Yeah, it's, like, the closer you get to campus, those little restaurants, there's not many of them, but when you go in there, there's at least one picture of the owner with the cup and the person who won it. You know? Like, it's just kind of almost standard.
Yeah. Then let's see here. Brandon Bochynski.
Mayor extraordinaire.
Yeah, Mayor Bochynski.
I just have to say one thing with the last one, though. Like, it's Oshie and Toews, but they were part of the dot line.
Okay.
It was Duncan, Oshie, and Toews. Yeah. And Ryan Duncan was the Hobie. He's only the second person to ever win the Hobie Baker for UND.
Yeah.
And he was a sniper. He was undersized. Very typical, like, UND.
Like, he was listed at 5'7", but you know he was 5'5".
Yeah. Yeah. And he was pure skill. If he would have been the size of Oshie or Toews.
I remember that Hobie Baker run. And because we were stacked. We had such an awesome team.
Yeah.
And it was just puck luck and too many superstars. I don't know. But Duncan, I think afterwards he got a tryout with an NHL team. And then...
Probably the Wild.
Somewhere. But he was just too undersized.
Yeah.
And then he went overseas.
Yep, and had one hell of a career over there.
Yeah, I mean, won it's multiple. A shame. Let's see, Phil Lamoureux, another Grand Forks guy.
Yeah.
A legacy player. His father won in the late 70s.
82 was when they won it.
Okay, because sure. He was also on those teams with these like hot players, and we got so close with Lamoureux,
yeah,
too. I think his freshman year, he shared the duties with Jake Brandt.
Yep.
Who is also a stud for us.
Who is now in one of the two announcers for the UND games, too.
On, like, all the Lamoureux played for UND.
Except for Jacques. He went to Air Force.
Yeah.
And then the youngest one, he played for Manitoba.
Okay.
University of Manitoba.
Yeah. I know Mario, he was pretty good. Do you think he was captain?
Yeah, he was captain.
Yeah. And I think that's when I, like, moved away. Because I moved away in 2010, and I kind of would just, like, see from afar. And so there's kind of a gap.
Yeah.
But obviously, when we were winning in 2015, 2016, it was like, ooh, you can feel it.
Yeah.
You know, like.
It was after so many years of being so close.
Yeah, and it sucks because Dave Haxall left.
Yeah.
Bradbury takes over.
Yeah.
And we win the first year without Hax. So it's kind of like,
It proved a lot of the naysayers wrong. You know, I have a lot of family that's not family that I basically go to all the hockey games with.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you have season tickets, you know who's sitting by you.
and it was one of those things over the years talking with them about the team. It's like they were very hard Hackstall supporters because it didn't matter how you started the season.
You knew you were getting to the playoffs.
And you knew you were going to have the Thanksgiving surge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you would do kind of piss poor the first 4 or 5 series of the year, and then after Thanksgiving, you would start to win them all, and that was kind of the way that everybody was used to it. And then the first year, but the big thing with Hackstall is people that they would say could never win the big games, never won a championship. So then, you know, everybody wanted UND to win the championship the next year because that was basically Hackstall's team, and then they said, you know, they're just chirping back and forth like, I want the team to win, but if they do win, it sucks because maybe Hackstall was the problem.
And then right before that championship, I just want to mention Matt Green. He was a favorite of mine. I used to see him on campus when I went there.
Oh, yeah?
And he was always like fun and always joking around. Matt Jones was another favorite of mine too. And my favorite name ever in hockey, there's so many great names, but it was Rostislav Spirko.
Yes.
So like when they would say his name, I was like, yeah. Sorry, just a few more names. Travis Zajac, Drew Stafford, Chris Porter, the Iron Man.
Yeah.
Robbie Bina was like 26.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite moments was when he scored that 180-footer against Minnesota. He was just trying to clear the zone. He just dumped the puck all the way, and it took a dumb bounce.
Yep.
And he scored 180 feet.
And the best part about it is it was
in Minnesota. In Mariucci. So, Ryan Duncan, the Hobie Baker winner. The previous was Tony Herkus.
Yeah.
Who was, before our time, you were like, probably went to a game in the late 80s.
Yes, I did. But I, you know, would have been way too young.
You were just eating popcorn.
Yeah. At best.
So UND is a hockey factory, but Tony Herkus was a journeyman. He played in the league for 20 years, I think, bouncing around teams.
And he did win a cup with Belfour.
Yeah, 1999 with Dallas.
Yeah, they were on the same team with teammates with
Craig Ludwig, who was also
a
part of the team in the
80. I think he was 82 when they won it, and then him and Belfour were on the same team in 87. So. A lot of these weird connections that if you're successful here, you're going to be successful just about anywhere.
Yeah. No, and we mentioned, you know, you're a tall guy, you're 6'9". And I was like, oh, Ben Blood, he was, I think, the tallest player. But he was only 6'4" without skates. It was Joe Finley that I was thinking of, who was 6'7".
Yes.
And then on skates.
My age.
Huge.
Yeah.
But, and then, so yeah, that 2016 championship game, Hack leaves, Bradbury takes over. I took a class at UND, an ice skating class, and Bradbury taught it.
Really?
So I got to hang out with him once a week for a semester.
Yeah.
And everybody in the class knew how to skate except for like two people. But he was just fun. We'd shoot pucks in the corner, and it was just fun.
I didn't realize that they'd have their defensive coaches or assistant coaches teaching classes.
Yeah, that was 2006.
Get a little supplemental income.
Yeah. And then my favorite player from the 2016 era, I don't know, Drake Kajula, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I was at the thrift store getting some Vikings gear.
Yeah.
To piss off my friend's brother, who's a Packers fan.
Yeah.
But I saw a Drake Kajula t-shirt. It was an Edmonton Oilers, and I would have got it, but it was a small, and I was like, it's for a little boy.
Yeah.
I can't wear this. But he played all 4 years. I think that's my favorite type of UND player. And he went undrafted and broke into the league anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, he bounced around teams. I think he was Edmonton, Chicago, Arizona.
I think so. I know.
And then overseas, I think.
I know, he was part of Edmonton when I think they started to kind of get a bit of a rebuild going.
Yeah.
And then I think they did their typical Edmonton thing where nobody wants to be up there and they trade everybody away.
Yeah.
Such. But he was part of the CBS line.
Yes, I was going to ask what's the name of that line because Brock Besser.
Yeah, Besser and
Schmaltz.
Nick Schmaltz, yeah.
I think that season they were just a highlight reel, that CBS line. It was like tic-tac score, tic-tac-toe score.
It was one of those things, too. They didn't take that long to find chemistry. Mm-hmm. It was like third game of the season.
Yeah.
Kind of had a good idea what was going on. And I know, too, kind of backtrack on, going to 97 when we won. They had the Panzer Blake line, Jason Blake.
Yeah.
You remember hearing stories about them, basically. Everybody was still living in town over the summer, and all they did was play together the whole year. And come back and they were our top line.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So we talked a lot about players and how so many have found success in the NHL afterwards. But typically I ask, what's a team you love to beat or a team you hate to lose against? And I know the answer. But for me, I know mine. But tell me yours.
It's always going to be the Gophers more so. But we don't play them every year anymore. And if we do play each other, it's in the tournament. So the way things have kind of shook out, it's basically Denver or the Bulldogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Bulldogs have kind of...
And St. Cloud.
St. Cloud, but...
Well, I just know they've gotten better. I remember in the late 90s, they were pretty good. You know, they were always a team that we played often. And then they sucked for a while. And then I thought they were having a resurgence recently. I don't know.
They were doing good. And then the Gophers picked their head coach. Because he used to be an assistant there back in the early 2000s when they won. So...
Yeah.
They'd been floundering for too long and needed to pull some big guns.
It sucks that UND and the Gophers aren't in the same conference anymore. I think everyone was so surprised by that decision. What led to it?
It was basically the Big Ten.
Yeah.
They always needed one more school to pick up hockey. And then it's it was basically like a union thing. So it didn't matter if you wanted to go or not. If they could have a Big Ten hockey league, it was going to be there no matter what. And then they only needed six teams.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people said, too, that these teams, Minnesota and whatnot, they would have left earlier if we wouldn't have been able to build the Ralph. So that was part of the reason, because otherwise we would have gotten stuck playing more so smaller regional
schools. Like Bemidji State.
Bemidji and your Mankatos.
Yeah.
Kind of like, I don't know if you remember the old NCC, the Division II league.
Huh.
So basically, we were always a Division II school with a Division I hockey program.
Yeah.
That's all we had.
Yeah.
So everything else, I think it's North Central Conference. So it used to be UND, NDSU, South Dakota State.
Okay, yeah.
St. Cloud.
Duluth, no competition.
Just smaller schools.
Yeah.
And it was great because a lot of these rivalries got built up over the years, but they were all smaller schools. And it was that thought that if we wouldn't have had that arena, we'd be more so like a Bemidji and less so like a Gophers.
So, back to the arena because it's called the Palace on the Prairie.
Yep.
The Ralph Engelstad Arena. If you guys don't know who Ralph Engelstad is, he was supposedly he played in the 40s.
40s, 50s.
He was a bench warmer.
Goalie.
Okay. But he was a filthy rich man. I forgot what he did. He invested in NASCAR or something.
He owned a construction company that built all the casinos in Las Vegas. And then eventually he bought and built the casino himself.
Well, I think this is a good segue to talk about the nickname change because Ralph Engelstad was kind of a questionable character. Because it was known that he would celebrate Hitler's birthday and he was obsessed with Nazi memorabilia. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Very. I believe at some point the authorities raided his place. I don't know for what for, but I believe they did find a plates for bumper sticker maker.
Yeah.
I believe it said Hitler was right.
Jesus Christ.
But sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, and so he had a clause in his will or something saying if the UND Fighting Sioux ever changed their name, he'd gate up the, $200 million arena he had just built. So there was this puck politics, is it really going to happen if we change the name? And his kids just didn't give a crap. They're if they change the name.
They're just doing what dad wanted.
Yeah.
And basically, I think the lease is up, and then we can buy, we being UND,
yeah,
the state of North Dakota, can buy it from them.
Is there still logos in the arena?
Yeah,
because like I know all the stuff was like etched in marble, so it's like they can't really like chuck it out.
A lot of things in that arena are made to be, if you do change the nickname, you can. But in order to take out some of the logos.
Yeah, it's like it's gold inlay in marble, yeah, like destroy it.
Yeah, it's going to cost more to take it out than it's probably worth.
I remember when the name change happened because I was actually attending UND at the time. And I'm like, yeah, whatever, I'm all for it. You know, I'm not a Sioux forever. But there, I would say like 70% of our fans are Sioux forever. I'm around town. I see Sioux jerseys everywhere.
Everybody kind of quit buying anything new for the longest time. But it's going, not quietly, but it's...
Yeah.
It's
I have seen away. Lots of, like I saw Fightin' Hawks license plates. I've seen Go Hawks in people's yards. The thing is, I just don't like the new nickname.
I do like the fighting.
Yeah.
I thought that was important to keep, but there's so many other Hawks teams. Like, that's the thing.
And the logo is like a ripoff of the USPS. I can't unsee it. Once you see it, you can't unsee it.
USPS combined with the Burlington Northern.
Yeah.
Before they were Burlington Northern Santa Fe.
Did they have any runner-up names? I don't remember. It was like the Flicker Tails. And you was like, that's not even good.
There was a lot of push for Nodak.
Oh, yeah.
And Nodak is kind of maybe a bit of an old...
The Fightin' Nodak?
Yeah.
I like the Fightin' Norwegians. I would have been okay with that.
Yeah.
The Fightin' Swedes. But yeah, the names change. Get over it. Fightin' Hawks. Go Hawks.
Yeah, Hawks.
Tell me about a memorable game you went to.
Well, when I was...
Because you've been to like 100 billion games.
Well, when I was younger, just for a sheer like not actually watching the game, but being there for like the spectacle of it, was the first time I remember seeing a dead gopher being thrown on the ice. And I remember seeing video of one time even a dead badger being thrown on the ice. Which, and again, these people sneak these things in. It's not like back then it was easier, but you got to put them down your pants or things like that. It's not easy, and it's probably not the most pleasant thing to do.
Oh my god!
But I mean, like you know, like a lot of it. I mean, you know, like I talked to my buddy who's got more games than me, and it's kind of more so.
We should have had him here.
Yeah. But it's like, it's kind of like the little things, like when you think of being in a smaller hockey building, it's the time.
The old Ralph.
Yeah, like the old Ralph. Like the time where you really had to go to the bathroom and you're down the bathroom and they score a goal and it sounds like it's hailing, thundering, and a car crash outside. It's just nothing but people banging and that's all you hear.
Well, and didn't they have the old, like, bench style seating?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, because, like, the Ralph, everything's, like, padded leather.
And, yeah, it's very casino-like.
No, I only made it to one game at the old Ralph. It was when they won in 2000.
Okay.
So I got to see that team. It was, like, right before their last home game before the playoffs.
Yeah.
So that was pretty sweet. A game that I remember that broke my heart was when the Gophers beat us and, like, there was 0.9 seconds left on the clock. Remember, it was like 2015 Frozen Four or something.
Yeah, a little chip.
Yeah.
Oh, no, the trickle, the five hole.
Yeah.
Just trickled in on
him. So that would have been Dave Hextall's last game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I took off my glasses and I went in the other room for 10 minutes. I was like, nobody talked to me.
Yeah. That was a rough one.
But let's just talk about the current team now.
Okay.
Who are the hot guys now? There's Luke Johnson or Caleb Johnson. He's a Grand Forks guy.
Caleb Johnson, yeah. He's a third string.
Okay. But yeah, I'm kind of out of the loop on current Fightin' Hawks, you know.
You know, and like for me too, the season is kind of so fresh yet still. I know there are some kind of like legacy names. There is a Schmaltz
on
the team.
Jackson and Blake?
Jackson Blake. He's the son of Jason Blake.
Yeah, I saw that. That's pretty cool.
So if you want to date yourself, you know, you can say, hey, I saw your dad play and I've seen you play. So
yeah,
getting to that age.
Well, and you know, you have a son.
Yeah.
And I think it's great when we have children, we get to indoctrinate them with our favorite hockey teams. So I think once he gets older, you're going to start following a little bit closer. You know, like back in Belgium, I'll watch the highlights of UND games and I'll make Maxine watch them. And she's like, go!
Exactly.
You know, gets into it. But here's my final question. I always ask, why should your team win? But why should the Fighting Hawks win this year?
Because we got enough talent to fill a couple different teams, mm-hmm. and we're young. I think it, you know, kind of like all great teams, if we can just put together, you know, that 60-minute mm-hmm. game, I don't think there's a team that can beat us.
Yeah, they've had a pretty, I don't know, they're rocky start with, they had that tough loss to the Gophers.
Yeah,
I think that was like their toughest loss this season so far, because it is still pretty nice. It's
November. That was a shutout at home, and it's never nice. I know just last night we did lose to BU.
PU.
Yeah,
I don't know, after Minnesota it goes Boston, both Boston teams for me.
Yeah.
Just because they've crushed my heart and spirit so many times.
We've played enough in the big games. Other than Minnesota, I don't, you know, it's decades, generations we've played BU and BC. And
yeah. Well, and what I love most about, because like this is an NHL podcast, obviously, but in college hockey, when you're in the student section and like everyone's jingling their keys, you know, like remember doing stuff like that, everyone's bringing their broom or the chants.
Well, and then the beauty thing about it is I know when I was living in Chicago, I went to multiple Blackhawks games, and more times than not, I went wearing my UND jersey.
Yeah.
So you just go there and people comment, you know, back when I was there, it's like, oh, do they still have the logo? How's that going? Or you just talk about, you know, there's some people that are really knowledgeable, like they don't follow college hockey, but they follow the draft picks and just to make sure, you know, how are these guys shaping up? Or I know even like, you know, for us, we've been in kind of a lovey-dovey relationship with the Ottawa Senators lately, mm-hmm. because we've had at least six.
Sanderson, Pinto, who's suspended.
Gambling.
Yeah. gambling.
I mean, we've had basically a whole decor for them. And I know just going through Twitter, I mean, there's the hashtag NoDakSends.
Yeah. Wow. And no, just kind of go back. Like in Denver, we had a Subar. You know, it was called Jackson's downtown. That's like where all the transplants would go for Denver games.
I think that's where they would have the Alumni Association mm-hmm. would have.
Yeah, I got into it with some DU fans before there. So they were always fun. But I mean, I don't hate them as much as Minnesota. But for a while, I was like, DU had our number. And because they won back-to-back.
Yeah. See, the thing about it is there's not as many DU fans as there is Minnesota
fans. And so what I was going to say is we travel well.
Yeah.
You know, when we go to Mariachi Arena, it's a sea of green. You know,
it's always a home game.
Yeah,
that's kind of our motto.
Yeah. Well, awesome, Lee. Thanks so much for sharing your UND history with me, and this was fun. Let's clank our grain belts. All right. Thanks, everybody. Tune in next time. Bye.